They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Not invited to We Are the World. Think about it. No. KC back there?
That's a post-KC.
Come on. How banged up do you think Bob Dylan was during We Are the World?
Yeah, I looked at it with you. He's not really there.
Look at this. Look at this video. There's so many videos of this.
You know.
The best thing is everybody like, with rhythm.
He was on another
world. Moving around him and he's like.
He was on another world that day. What?
I mean, it lends a sort of gravitas to have him there. It's
pretty
Dylan,
much looks like his music.
Well, I thought of it because you mentioned Aykroyd just sort of being there.
Yeah.
Well, Bob Dylan was just sort of being there.
I would agree with
there's
that.
There's this video of someone Quincy flew him Jones there for that. Trying to like coach him up.
Right.
Like, hey, he's trying to teach him how to sing a song.
Cajole a sound out of him.
Wake up.
You're Dylan.
See that red light? It's on.
Okay. Yeah.
By the way, have you seen the Quincy Jones documentary on Netflix? Anyone seen that yet? Hardy? I suggest you watch it.
He's a pretty provocative guy, though, right?
He's an interesting guy.
He'll say anything.
What was it that I remembered reading about that when
he's
first
done
came
interviews?
Out?
I've seen a couple.
It probably
of those.
Came out a year ago.
So there's a new one on Netflix. Then
he'll say anything.
I've seen a couple of these. They've done some stuff. I think VH1 had one.
This one was done, I think, by his daughter.
Did not see
Rashida Jones.
Yeah. It's recent. I didn't. A couple of years ago. Pretty good.
No, I think it was his other daughter actually.
Oh,
not
really?
Not the one that's the actress. I think it may have been one of the other daughters.
Was it Michael? When Michael died, something came out right after that on him. It was really good.
Was he married to Peggy Lipton of Mod Squad at any point?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Like Lipton Tea?
No, but she was in
I think that was the
very
second
famous
wife.
TV show, Mod Squad.
617-779-0985. Tom in Worcester, the creator of our Christmas song.
Hi, Tom.
Is on the line. Hi, Tom.
Ho, ho, ho. Happy Christmas, everyone.
How you doing, pal?
Tom.
Hey, I'm doing great. Hey, thanks so much for playing that. I love the show, obviously. I'm kind of a crazy fan. But,
Chronic. Love it. Love the Chronics.
I really enjoyed doing that. And, you know, getting to know you guys on a more personal level has been a real treat for me, and being able to contribute like that and have you like it is pretty special. So,
well, you're a good dude.
I'll try to fit T-Bone in next time. I just didn't figure out how to squeeze him in.
I know. It's tough.
Yeah, he'll get over it.
He will.
Tom, it was a great job, though. Thank you. That was impressive.
It's impressive
stuff.
Production, yeah.
Well, I always want to mention the people behind the scenes, like Jim Louth and of course, Hardy, who's like the big toe. Hardy's like the Sergeant Hulka of the whole show.
Right.
He's the big toe. But, hey, one last thing, and I'll hang up. Thanks again. Merry Christmas. Zoe, look for me. I'm going to be in Miami in the end zone this weekend.
Oh, nice, Tom.
If you do need any firewood, you got to answer my message.
I will. I know you did it, and I totally forgot to get back in.
Look at that. You're blown off.
I know. I'm not blowing off, Tom.
You blew him off.
I can get some more for you, though.
No problem. All right, pal. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Tom.
What are we doing Saturday night? Miami.
Saturday night?
Yeah, what are we doing?
You're on your own, Chooch. Rest for Zoe.
No, we're going to hang like usual.
We don't get in very early, I tell you that. It's going to be a quick trip in and out.
South Beach? South Beach?
No.
Okay.
South Beach is far from Lauderdale, man.
Yeah, I know.
Like nothing. That's the thing that sucks about Florida when you lived there, when you played there. Yeah. You know, you think, okay, I'm like really 10 minutes west of the beach. We're literally like 35.
Yep.
By the time you hit red light. And
this is
everything's far.
I know Nashville was a destination
Keys,
for Patriots
Keys is
fans.
A shot, you know, everything.
There were so many Patriot fans. Like the buses, they have that 20 bus cartel goes down there.
Yeah.
Chuck from the Gardens, one of the drivers. It's amazing.
It'll be the same this way. You know, people say they went there instead of Miami. People still go to Miami.
Oh, yeah.
They'll be down there, especially in December.
Yeah. A lot of math.
So you're the big toe. Here's the thing I have a question of. Like, you know when you crack your foot or you break a toe off the corner of a wall or a desk? You never hit your big toe. You ever notice that?
It's always little toe.
It's always the exterior outline, small
toe. I think that you do hit your big toe, but the big toe can take it. I mean, you hit your big toe, but...
Yeah, but I mean, you never hit that sucker square in a corner. Well, you know, it's always that pinky toe, and it's just like, I've shattered my... I have no feeling in either pinky toe because I've broken them so many times.
Yeah.
No feeling at all? Can we all test that?
You can test it, pal.
Go ahead.
Do you want to chew on it?
No.
His feet are always exposed.
No,
every show.
It.
Well, it's...
Oh, you can expose them if you'd like.
We've seen them.
Yeah.
Let's give the old Dirty Rotten Scoundrels test. Well, you won't be feeling Mr. Piggy then.
Yeah.
Teagle,
yeah, there's a well-known...
Teagle.
This is well.
You could literally. I could be one of those characters. You'll love this. I could be one of those characters in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. My favorite movie, actually. You know where they put the cigarette or the match in between the toes and lights it on fire.
Yeah.
And it's what's his name? Jim McNichtowski from Taxi.
Yeah.
He smells the smoke. And he looks down. You could do that. My foot fire.
I'm filling it. Out.
Yeah. It starts freaking out. Yeah. Cheswick. I want my cigarettes.
We've got a couple of minutes here. Dan, I know you've written about this. Zoe, you stayed home yesterday and watched a day's worth of funeral coverage for George H.W. Bush. He's having another funeral today in Houston. And we were talking about it off the air this morning. Hardy has made it clear to all of us that when he passes, he wants to make sure we only have one funeral for him.
Just one funeral, please.
Right. Well, I think we'll be able to do that.
Yeah.
I feel bad for his family to have to go through this a second day in a row.
It was so spectacular yesterday.
With all the travel mixed in, and it's their choice. I think they decided to do it this way, but wow, they're going to be exhausted when this is over.
Absolutely. Yeah, they'll be spent.
I'm actually surprised I didn't go up to Kennebunkport for like a day.
I know.
You know, it's that's like where it started. Once he passed, everything went straight, not to Houston. They went right to Kennebunkport. Yep. I know it's more local for us here, but it was a pretty amazing tribute. And
he was president from 88 to 92, and I was the baseball writer at the Globe then, and, you know, he invited us all to the White House. I mean, like, guys, you would, you know, Phil Mushnick, we were at the White House.
Yeah, but like 43 gets credit for being
the
baseball president.
So why did that happen? Why did that happen?
George Bush, Herbert Walker Bush, had a speechwriter named Kurt Smith, who was a local guy and wrote a lot of books about, like, Ned Martin and radio, Joe Castiglione. He's always been involved with radio baseball broadcasts. And he was speechwriter for Bush, and so he made it happen. And, you know, Bush obviously had the pedigree, having played at Yale, having the picture with Babe Ruth, and just being, you know, Joe Castiglione told me his assistant coach at Yale said he had a major league glove. He was like a 230 hitter, and he was also he was a rare Ricky Henderson, throws right, bats left.
Mm-hmm.
If I get that right, yeah, throws right, bats left.
Mama do know best.
No, the other way.
The other way around.
Throws left, bats right. Unusual. There's a lot of pitchers who have that. Ricky Henderson, Cleon Jones. It's very rare as a position player to see that. And just loved baseball. So he invited like 12 of us up to the Roosevelt Room before the 89 playoffs. We just went to Washington and hung out for the day, went in there, said round table, talked about baseball.
And you had a day at the White House.
We had a day at the White House. It was an amazing thing. And
what'd you eat there? What'd they give you to eat?
Little sandwiches, you know.
Little finger sandwiches.
It was like, you know, you went to the bathroom. You want
it's like the Forrest Gump where they had the Dr. Peppers all lined up against the wall.
Again, I was there.
Dr. Peppers all lined up like
I wished. Gump. No, did not have to pee, none of that Dr. Pepper stuff. You know, we had that Forrest Gump moment. But it was, and then Abila was, you know.
This is what you wanted to mention. You found something that was unearthed by
this woman
Dallas
did a
Morning
book,
News.
And the Dallas Morning News used her essay in the book. It was George Bush and Ted Williams, their military service, how they crossed paths. And I knew they had crossed paths, and I talked to some people in the column that I wrote for the Globe, but I didn't know about this document, which is like June 16th, 1942, and it was typed on 150 Causeway Street, which is the garden. I don't know what the... And it has to do with the aviation cadet school, flight training, and the enlistment papers for 21 young men who had their enlistment papers all in the same sheet of paper. And the first name of the list is Williams, Theodore Samuel. And like the 16th name on the list is Bush, George Herbert Walker. So they're on the same papers list of guys raising their hand to go into the service in 42. And of course, George Bush had just turned 18. You know, it's weird that when he played at Yale, he was a parent and a war hero already. And he's playing baseball at Yale as captain. It was like 6 years later. I mean, because both were shot down. I mean, George Bush was shot down in World War II near Japan, and Ted Williams in Korea, one of his 39 missions when he landed his plane in flames. So they had a lot in common. And in 88, Bush people, Sununu and Sam Tamposi, Bush needed help. He lost the Iowa caucuses. He's a sitting vice president, Reagan's guy, loses in Iowa. It's not going good. I think Dole and Kemp, he was beaten. So they called Ted Williams in Florida and said, can you come up and help us in New Hampshire? And Ted Williams came to New Hampshire and stumped for him in like
Wolfboro and Laconia, Manchester, and Ted would introduce him as the next president of the United States. And he didn't know him very well, but then after that, they would tie fly fishes and all that stuff that fishermen do, and they later, obviously, served their country in
did
the wars.
Did they remember each other from this?
They did not.
Okay.
No, it was kind of a moment that was crossing paths. There was a training in North Carolina. They had all that stuff.
So they would have been there together, though.
Yeah.
They would have been in the same place at the same time.
Yeah.
Obviously,
I mean, it's just
H.W. Bush, a lot younger than Ted Williams by what, about 6 years?
It was only
years?
About 5 years. Yeah, five okay. years. Yeah.
And
yeah.
so they were there going into the military together at the same time, same place, and didn't really know each other at the time, and then later would know each other
as Bush is an 18-year-old.
A vice president and a baseball star. And years later, after everything they accomplished.
When George Bush became president, he invited Ted up, and he gave him the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And they flew him and DiMaggio to the All-Star Game in Toronto. And it was just – and Williams stayed in the Lincoln bedroom with his lady friend. And George Bush came down, and they talked fly fishing all night.
Wow.
It's like weird stuff.
Like a hoot.
Amazing.
Two lives that cross paths.
Yep.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Zoe and Bertrand.
Struck him out. Bellinger down to start the eighth. Bellinger struck out. Turner reaches for it. Checks on Bogarts. With play, two out. Kelly to Eovaldi to Kimbrel. Fly ball into left. Easy for Benintendi. And the Red Sox bullpen outstanding tonight.
Dan Shaughnessy is with us here on Zolak and Bertrand today. The all-important Dan's Dates coming up at 12:50. Let's only get to that. Nathan Eovaldi back with the Red Sox. 4 years, $67.5 million. It's an overpayment. It is. In fact, Dan, there's not even a good track record of who the next team is. It's not even clear who the next team is.
Bidding against yourselves kind of thing. They just wanted to keep the guy. But he must have had action. He had to have interest. I mean, not everybody's conservative or fiscally sound. Or I think they're like the Phillies. The Yanks, it's still, you know, the Yanks have clearly changed their M.O., in a big way. Old days, this guy would have been teed up for the Yanks.
617-779-0985. I think it's an overpayment. I don't think it's an absurd overpayment. It's a little bit of an overpayment. You know, whether or not he deserves it, I think he was going to get the four-year deal. I think he was going to be in this ballpark. When it first started out, I thought if you were to offer four at 15, four at 60, that should have gotten the deal done in the very beginning.
Yeah.
And apparently it took more than that.
A little bit.
Because he agreed at 4 and 16.875 per year. Scott Nashville wanted to talk about the signing. Nathan Eovaldi back to the Red Sox. I do like it, though. I like that he is back with the team.
Yes, I love it, guys. Yeah. I love it, and I think it's the best deal. And next, I hate to say, Kimbrel, I don't like the six-year deal for him.
Really?
Get a new closer. Nothing personal against Steve Kimbrel, but we need a new closer.
You got Kimbrel.
And it's time for a new closer for the Boston Red Sox. He can go pack, and we don't need to offer him a six-year deal.
They're not going to.
We've already offered the other guy a four-year deal.
Yep.
The heck with Kimbrel.
Okay.
Sorry to say, Red Sox fans.
Sorry.
Hopefully someone will call and agree with me. Someone might call and disagree. Thank you for your
communication with us.
Okay, Scott, appreciate your call. I think that most people would agree with Scott.
Oh, my God.
Most people would say that Craig Kimbrel,
I don't want Kimbrel back in 6 years.
Yeah. See you later.
Hey, they got what they wanted out of him, and it was, you know, it was a win-win, and it's time for, you know, I'm just curious as to what the market's going to be for him.
Well, again, Scott's referencing that report from Buster Olney that he wants 6 years, a six-year deal. If a team gives Craig Kimbrel a six-year deal, they're stupid. They're a stupid team, and they deserve it.
Atlanta might be in the hunt for him. You know, back home, they like him there. But I don't think he's going to get 6 years from anybody.
6 years, moronic if someone does that for Craig Kimbrel. What are you doing?
He's trending the wrong way.
We looked up Mo Rivera's deals with the Yankees, Dan. The longest one I think we found was a 4-year deal.
Yeah, it was almost like year to year with him.
Well, he had a 3-year deal, then he had a 4-year deal, but he never went beyond 4 years. That was the longest deal he ever had.
That was a happy, happy marriage the whole time.
I didn't look up any of the other big long term. I didn't look up Trevor Hoffman, but.
Yeah, I don't know about his thing.
Is he on your Hall of Fame ballot, by the way?
I never voted for Hoffman.
Never voted for Hoffman.
No, I'm not big on closers. You know, I did. I came
what
around.
That, what does that mean? Not big on closers.
Well, I just think the save stat is so artificial. It's just bogus. It just, piling up a bunch of saves does nothing for me.
That's you highfalutin voters.
One of my Craig Kimbrell.
It's unbelievable. Issues. You don't like you DHs. Are.
Lee Smith had the no. I do not
don't vote for first year guys.
I don't vote for Edgar, but not because he was DH. It's power numbers.
So you're against Edgar because
I look at Edgar as a corner guy with weak power numbers, relative for Hall of Fame. You know, he's great, you know, slash line on base. I mean, I get that. You know, I know what he is. And I still may come around. And it's 10th year. Got another 4 weeks to go.
So if I could just plug a Twitter account that I really love to follow at this time of year. I follow it all year round, but this is the time of the year to be following it. It's not at Scott Zolak. It's not at @Mark_Bertrand. It is.
At Hardy985.
This is the handle on Twitter.
It's the guy who puts together the ballot?
His name is Ryan Thibodeau.
Do you have any returns yet?
And his he does. He has 18 ballots in.
Yeah.
On Twitter, this is his handle, @NotMR, Mr. That's @NotMR Tibbs, T-I-B-B-S. He tracks Hall of Fame ballots and puts them into a spreadsheet, this really well-organized spreadsheet that you can bookmark it. You can follow him on Twitter and get the updates. 18 ballots are in.
But, Beely, you know this is like Dixville Notch, New Hampshire. It's like... The people who give away ballots
early. How many
early,
precincts are in?
It means nothing because the people who give those ballots away early tend to be, they vote for 10 people, they love everyone, and it's very inclusive.
I'm like Dick Cheney on election night, waiting for those obscure...
The numbers get suppressed as the old people close in, or the ones who won't give him any information.
Looking for those obscure counties in Florida.
Numbers go down because this guy always has like Clemens and Bonds much higher than they end up, for instance, because it's
Where's
young.
Dick Notchville?
He's got Barry Bonds
Dixville
right now.
Notch.
Oh, Dixville Notch.
That's the first place that votes, right? They're the first.
Yeah, that's their annual thing.
Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds, 72.2%.
Of course.
Roger Clemens at 77.8%.
Yeah, we'll see. They'll end up in the. They might crack 60.
Okay,
we'll
Roy Halladay is on 89% of the ballots of the 18. So
18
far.
People. They all vote for 10 people. They want to vote for more.
Edgar Martinez is on all 18 of the ballots.
Oh, of course.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't you put yours in?
Your
Why don't
people.
You submit your ballots?
No.
Doesn't
no.
the Does the Globe still make everybody wait and
oh
they do it on
God.
The same day?
Yes, we do.
You insufferable bastards.
I agree.
Unbelievable.
Well, I mean, wouldn't put it that harshly, but yeah.
Hyperbole. Hyperbole.
No,
man.
I don't like waiting. I mean, I'd be, you know, I kind of wait on the ballot. Halladay, I'm wrestling with Halladay, wrestling with Edgar. You know, what, Messina, you're a no, right?
I'm a no on Messina.
Well, it's 270, American League East, you know. It's a lot to say for him. And he pitched in, you know. The whole DH thing, he really went through the fires. But and he has like 65 more wins than Halladay, who you love.
I just think there's an easy case that at one point in Halladay's career, he was the best pitcher in baseball, and it was hands down.
It's fair.
Was that ever the case with Mussina?
No.
It never was. You always thought he was really good. This guy's really good. You'd love to have him on your team. Yep. But nobody was saying Mike Mussina is the most dominant best pitcher in the game.
Dominant was
no one ever said that about him.
No. I agree.
People did say that about Halladay for a time.
I agree.
Mike is in the car. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Mike. Good.
Just a quick comment. The way is also on the closer for the Red Sox. Signing Kimbrel, not a great idea. He's going to command too many years. But the way I look at a closer in baseball is kind of the way you look at a goalie in the NHL. They get hot, and, you know, you use them up, and then you kind of get rid of them. I mean, if you look at closers, I mean, with the exceptions of guys like Hoffman and Rivera, like, they don't usually have a very long, you know, sustained period of dominance. It's more of a short lifespan. So
yeah.
I think we got what we need out of Kimbrel, and we can kind of move on, look for the next guy.
Yep. Mike, I think you make a good point.
I think we're in agreement on
that. I'd keep you on longer if you had a better phone. Fully admit that. Most closers burn out quickly. In fact, to Craig Kimbrel's credit, I think it works for him and against him. His lifespan has been longer than most closers.
But it's trending the wrong way.
Yet because he has gone on longer than most closers, I immediately think, oh, he's about to fall off the shelf.
Yeah.
He's about to go tumble right over that cliff and become the guy who burns out. Six more years of that? No way would I trust that.
He's also, he's just.
You couldn't even trust him at the end of the playoffs.
Not
in
a big game
series.
Pitcher. He's not what you want back there. He exudes no, you know, no confidence to anyone. He lost his job. He pitched himself out of the role by the end. The closer at the end, as we all know, was Chris Sale.
Scott is in Randolph. Hi, Scott.
Hey, yeah. Roy Halladay is absolutely a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. He threw a perfect game, I believe. Didn't
those,
he?
That's like a meteor, the lightning bolt. The perfect games, those things mean nothing. The Hall of Fame.
Oh, well, if you talk about how many one-hitters he had or how many close, and he led the league in strikeouts a bunch of years, and he was unhittable for so long.
Yeah, he was really good, and he's Cy Young. And
twice. Two-time Cy Young award winner, won it once in each league.
Yep. But his win total is just, it's a little bit shy. There aren't many guys with that kind of a win total in the Hall of Fame.
Sucks. I'm not big on the like cumulative stats. Oh, 3,000 hits, 400 home runs. You got to put him in. Why? What? Why? I'd be, and you know what? If I had to pick one of those two stats to sort of give more credit on, it'd be the 400 home runs over the 3,000 hits.
Okay.
If you can hang around long enough, you can get 3,000 hits. Craig Biggio has 3,000 hits.
Yeah, never voted
for him.
He
was never one of the best players in the game.
No.
Yeah, I'm ranting at you just because you're a voting member.
Want to go to
the
restaurant?
It's okay. Yeah, it's all-star not level.
It's
not Hall of Fame
it's
good.
Great. It's
but
good.
All-star level.
We always kill ourselves with that one.
Beat a dead horse with that one. Jeez.
617-779-0985.
I'm so tired of it.
We'll get to your calls on both Nathan Eovaldi coming back to the Red Sox. The Celtics start to the season. Are they out of it? I think they are. I think they're back on the tracks here. And even though the head coach and maybe some of the players aren't ready to say it, I'll say it for them. They're back.
It's your workday made tolerable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, why not us?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Buckle your chin strap.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Is it safe to say that this is one of the songs that really doesn't lend itself to the Mitch Miller treatment?
No, this one actually is the one I was going to say opposite that resonates. This really reminds you of Grandma's Basement.
A little bit. Not as much. I mean, again, Season's Greetings, one we've, the perennial opener.
But the here. Angry shouting
yeah,
man.
The angry one's the Season's Greeting one. Yeah, like, this like, is the season.
Yeah, it's like, better be bright.
Like this one really doesn't fit.
No,
Silent Bing, Night wouldn't fit
no,
for them.
Bing Crosby owns these tunes, you know.
Like... Away in a Manger. That's not suited for Mitch's
no, they need
gang.
Gusto. They need gusto.
What about Baby It's Cold Outside? Yeah. That's like,
away
that's right up there.
Jimmy, can you cue up Season's Greetings? The one with the gusto? I think we'll know what we're talking about. Not this.
This one works.
This one works.
Am I hearing a woman in this?
Yeah, I was going to say, what the hell?
That's unlike Mitch and the gang.
Yeah. What the hell's she doing?
Mitch and the gang and what broad?
Yeah.
Happened to be walking by the studio. We said, hey, nice gams.
Yeah.
Get in here, girly.
No pants.
No, none of this.
What's this one?
Come on.
Guess they kept her in for a second tune.
Come on, Jimmy. Give it to me.
Give me that one, Jim.
You know the one.
Next.
With the Murphys and the Stones.
Oh, God bless the Murphys.
Yeah, God bless everybody.
The Joneses.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, that's totally.
Jesus.
I don't know why Jim's not playing it for us, but I can't.
Jim, wake up.
Making our point.
Fucking Jim got a Christmas song. Tom Lister.
It's got the bells at the beginning.
Bells. You don't even know the name of the song?
Church Bells. It's called Season. This is it. Thank you. Season's Greetings.
Your finest work.
This is right. Gusto. Yeah, this is men. Manly men.
This is the season.
Party just backed away from his microphone. He scared him.
Wake up, everyone.
They are coming at you through the speakers of this one. They're grabbing you by the throat.
What about the sweetheart?
Oh,
yeah. God bless the sweetheart.
Bless the sweetheart. God bless the corn.
This is the corn.
Yes.
God
The Joneses.
You give her what for.
Ahead of all this back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
They may offend you. Like, Cleveland's not playing. Did you hear that one? That city? Like, Cleveland's got anything going on anyway? Yeah. They're going to say, hey, baby, it's cold outside. It's offensive. And we're not going to play it anymore. Yeah. We got an email today the other day by a listener. One said we should replay ours. We were ahead of that a long time ago. We're not going to play it. Maybe we should.
I think we should.
I think you should
you
listen.
You nailed it.
I think you should listen back to it.
And it was from a female listener, actually. She loved it, but we'll leave that out.
It's a setup.
It's not a
setup. It's a trap.
You want to see the email?
I've seen the email. She sent it to
all of
us.
Oh, she did? Okay.
It's
very nice of her, too.
It's a trap.
It is a trap. You're right. Don't see, if I was a producer, I'd press a button and play it.
I'm getting onto the calls now.
I'd press play.
George is in Lynn. George?
Hi. Yeah. Hi. My thing is, why? I want to know if Shaughnessy's going to vote for Roger or not.
No.
And if not... Is it because he didn't get along with him when he was...
No, we don't hold that against anyone, no.
Well, I mean, there's got to be an issue because, I mean, he was the best Red Sox pitcher from the 80s through the 90s.
He was. I agree. He was cheating.
Kurt Schilling on line
At the end, he was cheating. It's unfortunate.
Jim Rice on line five?
No, I'm kidding.
Damn.
No, it's unfortunate. And again, he's obviously he's a Hall of Fame caliber pitcher. I'm the guy, you know, but if you only cheat in the 18th green of the Masters, you're still DQ'd, right, Hardy? Even if you're ahead by
unless you're Phil Mickelson in the U.S. Open.
If you're ahead by nine strokes,
you keep playing.
Does anyone say, well, he would have won anyway without those strokes? No. It's because you were cheating that you're DQ'd. That's it. It's not that you would have won anyway.
Thought you were coming off that wall, Dan. Guess not.
Last year, I was close. I was close.
Peter is in Jamaica playing. Peter?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you guys doing? Hey, I just want to bring up the Celtics. I love the lineup that Brad Stevens has put together. The first unit, they have another ball handler. Even Kyrie Irving says, you know, when Marcus is guarding the point guard, it allows him a little more rest. He can play off the ball. They have a super defensive team on the first team, and Marcus Morris is the best scorer. Marcus Smart doesn't need his shot, and he's probably their best passer. And then on the second unit, I think it's the perfect place for Gordon Hayward to get his game back. I mean, he looked great the other day. I think he's still a step slow, but his passing was fantastic. And Jaylen Brown, I don't know what to do with this guy. But hopefully he can find his game on the second unit, but he's been just awful. So even if he plays pretty good, he'd be a trade chip. You know, if he plays great, he might work his way back in the starting lineup. But I think Jaylen Brown is, I don't know what to do with the guy.
Yeah, he's off to a bad start. He's off to one of the worst starts on the team.
Yeah, they got to wake his ass up. And I don't know how you do it. And like you said, you know, like Peter said, maybe he's just got to figure that out. I mean, this is a kid I think that's really believed who he was, read into the clippings, you know, the whole, you know.
I mean, he might be suffering from that more than anybody else on the team.
No, he started yapping about this.
For some
this,
reason,
like,
he thinks
East
they won the Eastern Conference Finals
last year.
East goes
through us. Like, the East goes through it, does it?
And now he's counted, like, at least four or five championships they're about to win. I mean, talk about buying in more than anybody else. He's looked foolish. That kid has looked foolish over the last, five or six months? Between the podcasts and the quotes that have come out of him, and then to follow it up with how poorly he's played?
You and your Bob Ryan buddies have left him off the hook here. Like, this guy... This guy's kind of got a free pass.
Everyone in the Celtics gets a free pass. That's the way it works.
It's the nature of the Celtics.
I mean, dude, if a member of the Red Sox or even the Patriots came out and was yapping like this in year two,
you get more attention.
Without winning anything. Be different. Right. With
Well, so what? I mean, we've called him out here, so it's fine.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But I mean,
is he going to snap out of it? That's a more important question to me.
Yeah.
Because you know what? You try and trade him now. Why are you doing that now? You're trading low.
Right.
This would be a horrible time to try and trade him.
Yeah.
The question is, do the Celtics still need that shakeup of the group?
Well,
that I think we'll find out over the course of a longer period of time, not just three games.
You know, the funny part of it is when you get into these little, you know, back and forth trade scenarios, say the Anthony Davis stuff comes up, you know, it's always, you know, a couple months ago, oh, Jaylen Brown was part of it. No, can't be part of it. Can't be part of it. Now it's to the point, okay, he's the new young guy that's in part of that deal.
A year ago, based on Tatum and Brown, which one would you keep?
Oh,
one, you know,
my God.
That thing's over.
Debating.
Well, I'm glad I said Tatum all along.
Yeah. It was an arguing
looking
year.
Good right now. Yes. Although Tatum hasn't had a great year either.
No,
so
sophomore slump.
Yes.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Damn it. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
Dapper Dan.
Okay, Dan Shaughnessy, today being December 6th, what do we have?
Well, it is not December 7th for starters, so tomorrow would be a far more...
Correct. Today's the 6th.
It lives in infamy, which
That's
I think
right.
is...
That's right. It's my daughter's
also,
birthday.
Tomorrow?
Yep.
Larry Bird also, if I'm not mistaken, is tomorrow. I don't think it's any special year for him, though.
Taylor Swift and I have the same birthday.
December 6th does not have, obviously, the day of infamy of the next day. A lot of bad things did happen on December 6th, and I will get to them. Birthdays that happened here...
Well, luckily for us.
Hardy, do you know...
Can't wait.
A lot of carnage. Hardy, did you know who Joe Beth Williams is?
Sure.
Well, she's...
Oh, Poltergeist.
And she was in The Big Chill. You know, that's how
I know.
She
the old woman?
Unfortunately.
Go to the lake, Carol Ann.
Well, she's 70 years old now.
She's the mom.
Yeah, 70 years old.
Who was the grandmother? She was good in that movie.
The grandmother?
No, not the grandmother. The seance lady.
Yeah, I don't know.
The old lady, the little old lady. Go to the lake, Carol Ann.
She's also in 16 Candles, I believe. She's the church organist.
She's the church organist, that's right. Did you forget?
More than I thought there. The only other birthday of note today is Judd Apatow is 51.
Right.
He's done a lot of stuff these days. Okay, stuff that happened on December 6th.
Movies are always a little too long.
Yeah. You get the joke and you get the theme. And, yeah, good
point.
Because
they're comedies. The last third of most comedies sucks. There's a couple of sports birthdays today. The Greek Freak.
Ooh. Oh.
Giannis.
What's he like, 23 now?
Antetokounmpo.
24?
24.
Oh, nobody says his name better than Mike Gorman.
How old do you think Johnny Manziel is today?
I'd go 26.
26 on the nose.
Oh, Zoe's good. Zoe's good at birthdays.
Looks like he's 46.
Done some hard living.
Stuff that happened on December 6th.
Ugly nose.
In 1790, Congress moved to Philadelphia from New York.
They took the train?
I don't know. The train is going now. In 1865, the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution abolishing slavery was ratified as Georgia became the 27th state to endorse it. On this date in 1884, Army engineers completed construction of the Washington Monument. You know what the obelisk is on top? It's made of aluminum. Do you guys know that?
No.
Snow slides off it better.
Aluminum. Oh, wow. That's pretty good.
You know what?
You just say that off the top of your head?
So you look at some structures, and I got into this in Buffalo, of all places. The peak on their practice facility, they have a massive practice facility. Covers, like, literally 120 yards.
Giant.
And I've never seen a roof as high as that one is the peak of it. And they're like, it's basically light-scale aluminum for the snow of our big snowstorms here.
Oh, I like that. That is a giant...
Army Navy games this weekend, by the way.
Oh my God,
go Navy!
Well, that's a good question to get. Ask Bill that on Friday. He'll talk for a half hour.
All right,
he loves talking about that.
Tuesday,
it's good. Back to the carnage. On this date in 1907, the worst mining disaster in U.S. history occurred. 362 souls died in a coal mine explosion in Monograph. No,
how about that?
How do you say this? West Virginia. So Monongah.
Let's just go with West Virginia.
Okay.
West Virginia.
And on the same date in 1917, 2,000 people were killed with an explosives cargo ship in Halifax. That's the one where I believe Boston helped out Halifax.
That's Nova Scotia.
And that's why they sent
us
the
Christmas tree.
That's how we
got the Christmas
tree. Yes, that's very good.
Yep.
You're doing good in your historical mentions here today. Other stuff that happened on November 6th. The first presidential address was broadcast on radio for the first time in 1923. So there was broadcast radio.
So they gave his address up?
On this date in 1947, Everglades National Park was dedicated to Harry Truman. Everybody wants to know that. There was a space disaster on this date in 1957. No one was killed. It was just a launch.
How the hell is that a space disaster?
It's not really a disaster.
Well, it's because everybody waits for the countdown, and then the thing like went 4 feet off the ground.
You told me this morning most rockets end up like...
It used to happen a lot.
Stuff has
a mishap.
Trouble getting off.
And it wasn't space. It was a ground. What happened?
It was Vanguard TV3. It rose about 4 feet off Cape Canaveral Launch Pad.
Okay, that's not a space disaster. It's a mishap, and it was 4 feet above the ground.
It was a space program disaster.
Okay. That would make it an aquatic issue because it didn't float.
You are correct. Gerald Ford was sworn in as vice president on this date, 1973, succeeding Spiro T. Agnew, who Bill Belichick caddied for back in the 60s. You knew that, right?
Yep.
Maryland guy.
Some baseball things happen on this date. I mean, today the Red Sox, they haven't officially announced they signed Nathan Eovaldi, but we expect it's going to happen. Official things that happen on this date. In 2015, the Red Sox signed Mitch Moreland. They traded Travis Shaw for Tyler Thornburg, one that Dave Dombrowski is still trying to defend. Huh. And they also signed Chris Sale. All that in one day. It was a busy day for Dave Dombrowski in 2015. On this date, 1976, they traded Cecil Cooper to Milwaukee to get George Scott back. On this date in 2005, Grady Little was hired by the Boston Red Sox. And on this date in 2010, young Theo Epstein traded Anthony Rizzo and some other people and acquired Adrian Gonzalez from the San Diego Padres.
The cooler.
Yes, Theo would later...
What a bust.
Theo would later, through back channels, manage to get Rizzo back to the Cubs, and they were all reunited. He regretted trading him, and he got him back.
Anything missed on this day?
That's all that I have. Anyone? That happened in December 6th. As I said, it is not... anyone else have any...
I don't know a lot about this one, but you know about the... Beetle probably knows about this. The Altamont Festival, where the Rolling Stones were
That's
playing.
Today?
That's today.
Oh, how did I not have that?
I don't know.
I love the Altamont Festival.
Do you know this story, Beetle?
No.
Can I fill in the blanks?
Yeah, go ahead.
They were singing Sympathy for the Devil, the Rolling Stones, and they had hired Hell's Angels as security.
Oh, this I did know.
Big mistake. And a guy was stabbed. And it was he was stabbed to death. And it was the film was made, Gimme Shelter. Very famous director. I don't know which one did Gimme Shelter. And
what was the name of the festival again?
Altamont.
The Altamont. It was a raceway. It's a raceway in California.
Okay.
And there's supposed to be another Woodstock, but it was like put together really half-assed.
Hastily.
As well, and you need no
so
more.
You're saying security was bad that day.
Well, they hired a bunch of Hell's Angels.
They paid
to
him in
security.
Beer.
They paid him $500 worth of beer.
Was the area secure?
Right. And no. That's like the end of the 60s.
You want security?
I didn't know that they stabbed a guy to death.
Yes.
Well, what was he doing?
He had a gun. The guy who got stabbed,
was he a threat?
Was he exactly?
Yeah, did they protect the band or not?
That guy, the guy who got stabbed to death, his not probation officer, what do you call it? Truancy officer in high school was Pumpsy Green. Now I know you think I'm making that up, but it's true.
The guy who got stabbed to death.
The guy who got stabbed to death, his truant officer in high school was Pumpsy Green. Yes, I just learned that this summer. It was in one of the books. Very happy to learn that. And that's all I got for December 6th. And you know what else? It's 1 o'clock. See ya.
This is unbelievable.
You're right. Wow.
On the nose.
And a shadowy figure walks behind Beetle and leaves the set.
1 o'clock. On
there
the
he
dot.
Goes.
And he's gone.
Where the hell's he got to go? He was here early.
I don't know. Now he goes and sits on that couch out there for a couple of minutes before he leaves.
He regroups. The appearance ends at 1 p.m.
What if we had more dates?
Gone.
He's just using this. looking for overtime.
Chairs.
We got a for overtime counter going. Oh, no. He's down the stairs. He is out.
He's out.
Chair here.
That's it.
He'll
he's gone.
He'll be a mile down Morrissey Boulevard before I finish the top of the hour update.
Wow.
Just like that. He is out the door. All right. That is December 6th. That is Dan's date. Dates, that is. I'm now reading all about the Christmas tree in Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
I went right down this hole.
That's why they put in a bed. The same guy's been driving it back and forth. He's got that big flatbed.
Except they didn't give a tree between 1918 and 1971. Yeah. So there's sort of a, 50-plus year layoff of not giving a tree.
See the size of that sucker?
The first year was 1918. That was like the true thank you. They picked it back up in 71, really, to do more to promote tourism than anything else.
Most of the problems you find, and I think back when we used to have a real tree, we would get the big, big one. We would always have the trouble with the stand. You could never perfect the perfect stand to stick your tree in. You get screws on the side. It always ends up falling over, leaning one way. It sucks all the water up, or they don't cut it flat enough on the bottom. That's why we went.
Oh, you got to recut yourself.
You don't
want
to cut it flat on the bottom because then it doesn't feed properly. That's why they cut it at an angle.
Excuse me?
What?
The tree?
A fresh cut. What the hell's the difference? Where they cut it flatter on an angle.
They cut it on an angle because it feeds better.
Why? Who told you that? A guy told you to cut angle tree?
I've done that with flowers, but how do you cut a tree on an angle?
It's not very much of an angle. It's a slight angle so the water can get underneath a little bit.
And get in to sit in the holder.
You got a jagged thing on the bottom of your holder to put it up. What are you talking about? What kind of holder you use?
I'm just going by what I knew from when I was a kid. We have a fake tree now.
I thought that the thing was to drill a hole straight up into the tree. Wasn't that a thing for a while? If you drill the hole, it would help feed
dogs,
the tree?
Dog's always under there drinking the water anyway.
My neighbor, by the way, brought a tree home so big.
And yeah. I saw it in his, through his living room window. I'm like,
Griswold style.
That's a big tree. He said it took three guys to get the binding around it, put it in the back of his truck, got it home, put it in, undid it. He's going to have to cut it apart to get it out of the house.
Yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.